Well, it's about the lost sheep this morning. Terrible when you lose stuff. I lose stuff all the time. And so I've now got a little device. It's called a locator. That's spelled L-O-C-8-T-O-R. And you put a little tag on something you want to keep. And then when you lose it, you activate this. And you go boop, 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 like this. And it directs you with a little beam as to where you've got to go to find your keys or anything else of value. And I recommend these things. The problem in my house is that I go, now, where's my locator? And I can't find the device to find the... That's the way it goes. I'm sorry if you find the hymns difficult. We're trying to bring new hymns into our repertoire, and whilst Clive is around before he goes to Hong Kong for the foreseeable future, we're trying to learn them because he can give us a good lead. So that's why we're learning a few new ones, which is wonderful. I want to talk for just a few moments about the parable of the lost sheep. I say just a few moments. How long should I preach for, you see? I remember going to Stockholm to a wonderful church on the riverfront there, and Corinne and I went in, and I went into the pulpit. It's always nice to go and stand in a big pulpit. It's one of these big lofty ones. And they had the egg timer. And the big egg timer was on the side of the pulpit, and you're supposed to turn it around, and then but it had such a lot of sand in. You know, you could have gone, I'd have thought, gosh, I could go on for hours with that egg timer, big egg timer, little time, egg timer. When you look at Jesus and his words, what seems to stand out so much is that he said so much in such a few words. And you take a parable like the lost sheep this morning, and Jesus uses a couple of hundred words, but they say so much. And you know, we gabble on for interminable amounts of time in the pulpit, seemingly often saying so little. It's how to condense such a wonderful, wonderful amount of teaching into a short space of time. So let me say a few words about that wonderful parable. And the first thing, of course, is that it's about lostness and things going astray. And this shepherd, who, missing a sheep, leaves the 99 and goes in search of the one. And you think, well, that's daft. Why would you leave the 99 you've got and risk them whilst you go in search of one that's missing? You might come back and find that the ones that you left behind, they're not there anymore. So this isn't a good use of resources. And yet, we're supposed to reflect upon this idea of the 99 righteous and think to ourselves, well, are there actually 99 righteous? And the question should be answered by saying, well, actually, no. That's the whole point. There aren't 99 righteous sheep just sitting there behaving themselves. We are in a state of lostness, all of us. We all need to be sought out and found by Christ. And it's in the nature of God, Jesus is telling us, to seek and to save the lost. That's what Jesus does. Living, he loves me. Dying, he saves me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. This is why we sing, O love that wilt not let me go, because God wants to seek us out and to save us and to bring us home. This is what God is like. And there is within us a certain resentment and a certain bitterness about this whole thing. You know, it's not fair to leave the 99. It's not fair. We want God to concentrate on us who aren't lost, who found God. And this idea that somehow we're a little bit better. And of course, the truth is that we haven't found God at all. And you hear people say, oh, I found Jesus. And our response should be to say, well, no, you actually didn't. Jesus found you. We don't find that turns faith into a good work. That turns belief into something that we do, that we're kind of somehow clever. There is in human nature this kind of desire to see ourselves as being somewhat more righteous than others. That's why we resent the shepherd going off looking for the ones who really should be doing a better job. And it's their own fault. And they've gone and got themselves lost. And this parable reflects everything back upon us and says, no, we're all in a state of lostness. God has to find us, otherwise we are not found. And we are no better than anybody else. And it is in human nature to want to kind of point the finger. And, I mean, you see this whole struggle over this business in America at the present time about this mosque that's going to be built, isn't going to be built, or whatever. And I'm not going to get into that because I'll lose half of you because you'd all take sides. But there is in human nature this idea to want to divide and to disagree and to argue, to point the finger. And what Jesus wants to do is to bring it all together. To bring it together, to unite. And you see this very, very much in the figures which are used. And you say, here's 99 sheep. When one is found, they become 100. And that's just so much better. A woman has 10 coins, she loses one, and she's got 9. It's incomplete. It's not right. There's something wrong about 9 and 99. It says, without the one, actually the whole isn't there. You're all impoverished. It's in God's nature to unite and to bring together. Not one of his will be lost. Because if one is lost, then we are all lost. So this idea that there are the great ones who have found Jesus and been saved, it somewhat misses the point. God wants us to be as one. And the nature of the word devil means to divide. The nature of God means to bring together and to bring unity and completeness. And whereas we want to point the finger and castigate others for bringing whatever problems they've got on themselves and all the rest of it, Jesus doesn't want to do that. And you see this in the ministry of Jesus. He seeks out. I mean, the beginning of this parable shows Jesus seeking out the lost. It starts off by saying, you know, he's with all the outcasts. And then he goes on to tell them about the lost sheep. And the point that Jesus is making is, look, where the lost are, that's where I will be. Trying to bring them home. And they don't even know that they're lost, but I'll bring them home. I mean, the coin doesn't know it's lost, it's a coin. The sheep doesn't know it's lost. I mean, you see sheep, they're standing on the verge of a big, busy road. Cars racing past, potential accidents all over the place, and they're just chewing the grass. They, you know, they don't think, oh, I'm lost. You know, bah. They're lost, and they don't know it, and they need someone to go out and find them. And Jesus is saying, look, that's what I do. That's my business. And the glory of it all is that when Jesus sees those who are lost, when he sees the tax collectors and the sinners, the prostitutes, all the rest of it, and he goes to them, he doesn't sit them down and give them a little lesson. He doesn't do what we would do and say, now you've got to change all this. You've got bad ways. We're going to put you on a program and make you better. Jesus doesn't do all that. He doesn't criticize. I mean, you look through the Gospels. And you see what happens when Jesus goes to be with these people. He has dinner with them. Or he has tea. He says, I'm coming to your house for tea, Zacchaeus. He goes with these nasty people and he bonds with them. And he shows that they're part of God's loving family. And this is incredible to us. But it's in the very nature of God. A love that will not let one slip through his fingers. Not one that were lost. And this is you and me. We're all in this. Not one of us. He'll seek us out. And he'll bring us home. And at the end, we have this wonderful conclusion to the reading where it says there was great rejoicing in the angels in heaven because one was found. There's only one. Why all the rejoicing over one? Because that's how much God loves every single last one of us. Amen.